welcome you today to Bethel Baptist Church, to our morning worship service. Our prayer is the prayer of Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. And let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. We're going to praise God now with number 402, talking today about the faith of Christ, the faith that comes into the hearts of the human being and change our life. Faith is the victory. 402. It's my hope that at the end of the service today, you can sing the song 228, the next song that we're going to praise God. My faith has found a resting place. It is my prayer that after the word of God being exposed, that God and grace will grant to you that faith of God into your heart. And you can say with an open mind and a true heart, my faith has found a resting place. Number 228. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And as we learned this morning in Sunday school, we're going to praise your name. We're going to elegato, as the Greek said, to your name, because you are a mighty God. Yes, we are people in need. Yes, we are people who need your power, your presence, your healing hand. But when we pray, oh Father, we learn today from the disciples and from Jesus that he blessed your name because of a need. And so, Father, this morning we bless your name because there are people who need Jesus. And we have a Bible and we have a God who is able to save. So we thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you that we can gather together to praise your name. We thank you that we gather together to proclaim that in the name of Jesus there is salvation. We thank you, Father, that we gather together to proclaim that the Bible is the word of the living God. And that faith comes only by the word of God and by the grace of God. Oh, thank you, Father, that that word of God and that grace of God is available to everyone. And I know, oh God, I know that you have power to save your people. And they will be saved. And we thank you and honor your name. Father, today we're going to talk about Hebrews 11. And close this month and the remarks about the book of Hebrews. And we pray that you enable me to bring your word with purity so the people may be blessed. And many may see that the faith that we have and what we are today, it is because of your mercy and because of your grace. And others may see that you are available, that they need to come and cry for mercy to a God who is able to save. Father, we do have missionaries around the country and also in another land. And we pray, Lord, for each one of them, those who are in Spain, those who are in Ukraine, and Father, who are labor in the gospel in different countries with the same purpose, to present the glorious Christ, the marvelous Savior, the great provider, the man of the millennium. And so, Father, we have needs in our church. Our beloved brother Vitola, who with his hepatitis, and how we pray, oh God, that you act upon his life. We thank you for his concern for the gospel and for his peace of mind, knowing that his life is in your hand. Oh, Father, thank you for his blessed testimony. And we pray that you may alleviate the carry-on of this sickness. We have our sister Prudence that tomorrow needs an examination, and we pray that you bless it and touch her heart. Lord, I talk on the phone with the son of Dolores Alvarez, and he needs the touch of you in his spirit and in his body with deep cancer. And so, Father, you are the healer of our soul. You are the builder of the bridge, say Isaiah 58 and verse 12. And I pray that as I visit these people, you get ahead of me and multiply your blessings as you did with the disciples, so that we may see the hand and the power of God even in our life today. Bless the choir as they're going to praise your name. Bless these children who are right here behind me in the pulpit, so that they may learn from little time in life that there is a place for them to praise God and to say great things about the God that cares for our life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Bible, which is the guideline so that we can see the road to heaven. And now, Father, thank you for this country, America. We are still free to preach the gospel. We see the decay of our country. We see the fighting line in the political arena of the decay of morality. Actually, we see the turn away from God. But Father, and in spite of everything, we're still free to preach. And we are thankful. Bless us as we fellowship with you today. And give us a revival in our heart because of your presence and because of your word. And Father, I'm thankful for the provision of your people in this church. And so bless the offering and bless the giver. And when the day is over, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from back in of the main auditorium of the church, telling you that we love you. Thank you for listening to our broadcast, and we are ready to continue in the service. But in at this time, the offering and the offertory is taking place, and I want to share with you that. Our church cares, and we have a phone number, 778-2595, that you can call. Leave your message there, and we will be in touch with you, and visit you, and show you from the Word of God and in prayer the comfort and the greatness of God. So I hope you take advantage of this, 778-2595. Our church is located in the crossroad of Tenant Avenue and Highway 101 in the city of Morgan Hill. We are in the southeast corner of that highway, and so may one day we see you here in church to shake your hand. Meantime, let's join the service in progress. God bless you.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 889. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are eternally grateful for the privilege of coming boldly into your presence to worship you and bring our prayers and petitions before you, because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith, without which we would still be in unbelief. We pray that you would bless your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he exposes your word today and brings to light the meaning of genuine faith in him who is faithful to do what he promises, and that you would also bless the hearers and give us understanding. If there are some who do not know you, we pray that through the hearing of your word, faith will come to them also, and they will be converted. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will use the microphone on my pocket, so they can silence this, so I can take it off. Thank you very much. I will just read something technical, legally, for our church. On coming Sunday, May the 7th, we will have a business church meeting after the morning service. And that's, by law, we have to announce it prior to the meeting. And so you know that on May 7th, we will have a church business meeting, of which everybody is welcome and to listen and to see the operation of our church. This morning, I'd like to call your attention again to the book of Hebrews, this time on chapter 11. Was my intention, and I hope I have accomplished, to bring to your mind Christ in a dimension that you had never seen before. As a human being, we study Christ as greater than the angels. The angels are greater than men, remember? But Christ is greater than the angels. As a lawgiver, he is greater than Moses. And as you remember, Moses gave us the law, but Jesus gave us grace. As a priest, he's greater than Aaron, who perished. He's from Melchizedek, the purity. Last Sunday we saw the sacrifice. It's the greatest sacrifice. My mind this morning as I was driving to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning, the verse in Exodus 12, 14 came to my mind. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I was emotionally touched as I crossed the cross of the churches when the day started coming. And I saw the three crosses over there. And the verse came to my mind clearly from Exodus 12, 14. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now today I want to talk to you about faith. And faith is related to Christ. Put one hand in Hebrews 11 and move your Bible to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. As you know, Christ is God. And therefore, when we read Christ, we also imply divinity. Now, in Galatians 2:16, something is mentioned that sometimes is misunderstood. And is the faith of Christ possessive. Let me read it for you. Galatians 2, and verse 16. Paul tells the church of Galatia these words, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by ceremonial law. You're not justified by doing something ceremonially. But by the faith of Christ, the faith that comes from Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ, the faith that comes from Christ is the one that justifies you and me. Because it's a greater faith than any other faith that possibly be. Our faith is imperfect. So we need to get from heaven faith so that when we apply that faith into our heart, then we believe perfectly. And so I think that Hebrews 11 is a demonstration of that faith of Christ. And I have selected for you today just a few verses, verses 8 to 11, in which I call genuine faith. The faith of Christ is a genuine faith. And in Hebrews 11, there are more than 15 people as an exhibit of the faith of Christ. And I choose to look into Abraham and to see how this faith of Christ operates in the life of Abraham. And my goal is this. That as you listen in the auditorium, or you listen over the broadcast, or over the internet, or watching in television, or perhaps as you listen in the tape ministry, you measure yourself against this faith of Christ, so perfectly defined in the life of Abraham. When we receive faith from God, move us. I keep saying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you where found you, moved you. But in Abraham, we see a picture so glorious. And as you remember, the Bible calls Abraham the father of our faith. So I have the right to select him to see how that faith of Christ plays now in the life of Abraham, change everything. I'll tell you what it is. When you have the faith of Christ, the faith that Abraham possesses, it is a faith that moves you in. It is a faith that will move you in. The faith of Christ, first, it is a faith that will move you in. Look at in Hebrews 11 and in verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, past tense, that's the faith. Abraham was called of God, and in that call, he received that faith of Christ. It's a faith that moved you in. Abraham lived in the city Ur of the Chaldeans, a port city. It's like saying in San Francisco or in Naples when London, a big city, he was a great businessman. His life was not in the gospel, neither his life was in religion. His life was in business. He was a businessman. But one day, the faith of Christ came unto him. The Bible used the word call him. And move Abraham in. He was out of the kingdom of God, and now he comes in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, he is the father of Israel. God called him and moved him in. How that faith of Christ moved an individual in? Well, we have an example in the Bible also in John's Gospel, in chapter 11 and in verse 43. In John's Gospel, in chapter 11 and in verse 43, we have an example of how God, the faith of Christ, moves an individual into the kingdom. As you know, John's Gospel talks about, in chapter 11, of the resurrection of Jesus. And in verse 43 and 44, we have a picture. This is actual true what happened, but it's in a spiritual picture and how the faith of Christ moves you in into the kingdom. We read in John 11, 43, and when he has thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He was dead. He was in the tomb. And Jesus outside said, Lazarus, come forth. Now the call, verse 44 clearly said, and he that was dead, come out. As you know, in those times when somebody died, they wrapped him up. It was like a moment. And I can see the stone was removed before. And I can see that man moving out. I can see the man jumping out. Not knowing what he was doing, he jumped out. Why? Because he cannot resist the voice of God. It's called irresistible grace. God called him, and first he put life in him. Otherwise, he cannot hear. Is that right? Have you ever been in a cemetery? Try to go to a cemetery and talk to the tomb. Say, hey, you, great. Talk to me. Amen. I do that sometimes, and people look to me and run away. But that's how we do it. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching to dead people. I'm preaching to dead people. I was doing well in my gym today, and here's a young fellow in front of me. Don't know how to operate the bike. I said, I don't know how to operate the bike either. We were talking about the gospel very soon. And the man was dead. The man was dead. His interest was in the girls. How many girls come here? When he knew I was a pastor, he dropped it. That's we all been there. The lesson today in Sunday school, we have compassion. Jesus had compassion. See? And the first thing that the faith of Christ does is move you in. And you cannot resist it. He moves you in. Now, look with me in Galatians 1 and in verse 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul said that's what happened to him. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 and verse 16. The Bible said, but when it pleases God, this is the testimony of the Apostle Paul, when it pleases God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by his grace. See, God called Paul, not because Paul was a philosopher of the law, he was. He was a doctor of the Hebrew law. He was a philosopher and the Gamaliel. And he was the genius. God did not call Paul because he was a genius. God called him on grace. He did nothing to reserve that. And what verse 16 says? Verse 16 says, to reveal his son and me. That is the grace, the faith of Jesus. When the faith of Jesus is placed in our heart, we see the son. And we see the scripture. And Abraham obeyed. He obeyed. God doesn't need to obey. He is already obedient. But Abraham obeyed. And I can see Abraham the next breakfast telling Sarah, Sarah, turn on the Mercedes-Benz, we move. Where are we going? Say, I don't know. Now, have you ever taken a vacation without knowing, not knowing where you go? Most of us take vacation knowing where we go. If you are like me, about a year ahead, I start reading geography and reading things and the maps, and it's because I want to get ahead of the buildings as I drive unknown places. And some of you don't care about that, but I just do that as a game. I get a map, and I know where I'm going. But Abraham was called to go to a place he didn't know. And how did he communicate to his wife? He said, Sarah, get a Mercedes-Benz loaded with everything we have, because we move. Where are we going? I don't know. We move. Where are you going? I go first. I go west. How many miles? I don't know. And then I want to turn south. Where are you going? I don't know, but I move. And I'm very sure that some people maybe told him, so you're crazy. Are you, Abraham, are you leaving this good business here? What are you going to do? Put a supermarket over there? No, no, I'm moving. I'm moving. And his nephew went with him. The faith of Christ, first of all, is a faith that moves you in. If you say to me, Pastor, I don't know. I agree with the gospel. I agree with the Bible. But I don't believe yet. You have not the faith of Christ yet. The only reason we believe is because God has given us the faith of Christ. The only reason why Abraham moved on is because God has given faith to do that. Secondly, the kind of faith that Abraham possessed was a faith that will move you in. It is a faith, secondly, that will move you out. First, that faith moves you in. And then move you out. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 8 again. In Hebrews 11 and in verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, move out of the old place into a new place. I say at the beginning that these are my words, so it's no gospel. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ never leave you in the same place found you. It moves you out. If you were a drunkard, you're no longer a drunkard. You were a gambler, and we have the example of a great brother in our church who now is in another place who testified to that effect, that until Christ touched his life, he never stopped gambling. But when Christ touched his life, he hated gambling. Now, that's the faith of Christ in him. And so the faith of Christ move you in, and the faith of Christ move you out. Some people tell me, well, this gentleman said, are you a pastor of a Presbyterian church? I guess Presbyterians are more easy. Are you a pastor of a Lutheran church? No, sir. Are you a pastor of what denomination? I said, Baptist. Oh, how bad it is, he said. I said, why? I'm glad we're running. Otherwise, we'll shake his head. But I said, why? He said, because Baptists, they have a lot of do's and don'ts. No, you got it all wrong. So, well, the Baptists don't smoke. The Baptists don't do this. The Baptists do this. Almost they compare me with the Mormons. So the Baptists don't do this. The Baptists do that. And the Baptists do this. No. See, when you got the gospel, when you really got the gospel from God, that God gave it to you, you move on. You move out of where you were into God's will. You're trying to find God's will in your life. And when God's will comes, and you know where God's will is, right here in the Bible. And then you find God's will and you do God's will, still by the grace of God. Now let me show you some verses of the scripture. Move your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, 2 Corinthians 6 is what God said, you people are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, and in verse 17, the Bible says, wherefore, this is God speaking to the Greek people, come out from among them. Don't be a part any longer of these people. And be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Now look And 2 Corinthians 7:1, which in the original close the paragraph, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow! If you are a Christian by the grace of God, that means that God has taken the faith of Christ and placed it into your heart. And so move you into the kingdom. And when you are in the kingdom, you no longer are part of the world's kingdom. Remember when Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray for them. They are in the world, but not what? Of the world. And so, brother and sister, no excuses to sin. O thou man art inexcusable. So Romans chapter 2, verse 1. We were taking breakfast with Dr. McCormick and Brother Plick, and we were talking about these scriptures, that mankind is inexcusable. Once you have God's revelation, there is no longer excuses. No longer excuses. You need to operate on the basis of God. Let me give you a formula from the Bible. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Excuse me, Colossians 2, verse 21. Colossians 2, 21. A simple formula from the Bible so that you can move out and move out of trouble. And young people, I want you to learn it by memory before the next basketball team. All right? Colossians 2, 21. It's simple. Colossians 2, 21. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Is that simple? Colossians 2 and verse 21. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Simple. In other words, if you have the grace of God, you have the power. The same power that moves you in is the same power that moves you out, and now you are clean before God. What? No excuse. No excuse. The faith of Christ is a faith that moves you in, is a faith that moves you out. But also, as I look into Abraham, it's a faith that will move you on. Look with me again in Hebrews 11 and verse 9. Hebrews 11 and verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. A faith that moves you on. By faith, he lived in Palestine. When I came to America in 1965, I was asked, how are you going to live in the midst of these ungodly people? That's how South America recognized America. How are you going to live on the midst of these ungodly people? How do you live in any country? You live by faith. You live by faith. You live by faith. Look at with me Romans 1:17. If you look in Romans 1:17, you find again the Apostle Paul talking to the Church of Rome in Italy, and Paul clearly said, without mistaking, for therein, say Paul in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, said the Apostle Paul. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. People, have you the faith of Christ in your heart, genuine faith? Then you are in. Then you're out of the old world, and now you live every day of your life by faith. And the question is, how? How do I live by faith? You got a Bible? Today I give away a beautiful set of Spanish Bible reading voice to Ramon. Ramon, we're going to take a test on you next Sunday. All right. We want everybody in the class to speak. And the only way to learn Spanish is with the Bible. You learn it easy. Now, how do you live by faith? Somebody, you know what somebody told me? So you live guessing. No, that's not my faith. The disciple guessed this morning. when they asked everybody to sit down, those 15,000 people, 5,000 men, 5,000 wives, 5,000 children, at least 15,000 people, sit down, please, in groups of 100, 150. The disciple doubted, said, no, sit down. The grocery store comes later on. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, and the food came out. Now, where do you get that faith? Romans 4, verse 3. In Romans 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul was, you know those programs, question and answer, sometimes they are good, but sometimes they put you on the spot. And the Apostle Paul, they put him on the spot. They say to the Apostle Paul, Paul, was Abraham saved by works or by faith? Now the Apostle Paul, a philosopher, a doctor of the law, he did not say, well, the confession of faith of the church of Antioch say this. He did not say, well, the church has established this is the way. No. Look at what he says. 4 and verse 3, King James Version. Look at what the Bible says. For what saith the scripture? That's living by faith. And so I'm going to give you some remarks so that you get it in your home. Say social relationship. Young people, you are 13, 14, 15, 16. Some changes you are experiencing in your body. And you want certain relationship with people of the different sex. Now, to whom should I relate as a friend? What said the scripture? You are not with unbelievers. You are with believers. That's why you come to church. You know, the man said this to me this morning. He said, you know, I have a godly father in Philadelphia. He said, I'm just here, new engineer for IBM. He said, I'm 40 years old, I'm single. Do you have any single ladies in your church? He said. I said, first of all, number one, if I have it, it costs you $100, the phone number. And he laughed a lot. Then second, I said, why do you want single ladies from my church? He was a good-looking man. He said, well, my father told me, if you're going to find somebody godly, you're going to find it in the church. That's correct. That's what the scripture said. That God's people meet in the church, and supposedly the God's people are godly in the church. You meet people within the body of Christ, within the church. And if you're going to marry young people and you're going to find relationship in your future life, this is the place to meet them. Somebody told me when we started the church, 15 people, we have only one young people. What's the name of that tall lady? You saw that tall lady playing the flute. You play the flute every service. Somebody said, move from that church. You're never going to find a companion. Until a sergeant from the army came. He was in Fort Ord. And he came to church. Somebody said, follow Pastor Otero. He called, finally came to the bank. He's down in the bank, in the back. Their eyes cross. Their heart move. Their legs move. And I marry them. And she lives in Virginia today. And she also is in the army, and they're both remarkably happy. See, the faith of God moves you on. The faith of God moves you on. And it's also, and work ethics. How should I work? Remember what the Bible said? You don't work for your boss. You work for Jesus. When you go into a school, you don't study for your mom or for your teacher. You study for Jesus. That's what the Bible said. That's faith that moves you on. And so that's what you study with excellency, not to be number one. Take that thing out of your mind. We don't need to be number one. But what we need to do is being faithful. Is that right? Being faithful to God. All right, now, last one. The faith of Christ is a faith that moves you in. Whether you like it or not, moves you in. It is a faith that moves you out of the old world. It is a faith that moves you on in life. And it is a faith that will move you up. Look in Hebrews now in chapter 11 and in verse 10. Hebrews 11 and verse 10. A faith that moves you in, a faith that moves you out, a faith that moves you on, and finally, a faith that moves you out. Hebrews 11 and verse 10. This is what the Bible says. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This Abraham of ours, he lived in Hebron. Today is still the city of Hebron. That was the first city that he founded, and he mixed the language of the Arabian people with a dialect of the Chaldeans, and the Hebrew came. The Hebrew is a mixture of the Chaldean and the Arabian. And he founded Hebron. And in the land of Hebron, he never thought that this is my rock and this is my well and this is my this. He was looking for a city which builder is God. He was looking to God, not to this earth. Remarkable. God moved him. He is in the city that God told him to be. And his satisfaction was not to own every business in Hebron. His satisfaction was, I look in the day, I be with God forevermore. That's faith. That's faith. If your only focus of your life is this world, if the only thing you live for is to make the money and get a big job and a big house and a wonderful, comfortable life, you miss the whole thing. What you need to be sure of is that you have the faith of Christ so that when you die, the next step in your life is in a house that you never built, is in a place you never paid for, is in the presence of God himself. Now that's the faith of Christ. The church could not put you there. Your membership here at Bethel Baptist Church, or your membership in the Presbyterian Church, or your membership in the Roman Catholic Church would not place you to heaven. Is the faith that God gave you when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because God has illuminated your heart. That faith is the one that is going to bring you up into heaven. So there is a text in the Bible that is well known. It's in Matthew 6 and in verse 33. In Matthew 6 and in verse 33, the Bible really helps us to focus our life. Jesus is speaking. And he said in Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first. You know, the word first is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that he talked in chapter 6, are be added unto you. Your food, your clothing, your house. Don't worry about it. What you need to focus your life is on God. On God. If you have the faith of Christ, that faith moves you up. You live in this world, but you do not belong to the world. Your life, your mind, your heart, everything is on God. And you say, how this can be done, Pastor? How can this be accomplished? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Do your faith control your priorities? Do your faith control your priorities? Whatever you plan to do you first pray? Is this what God wants for my life? Is this what I need for my wife? Is this what I need for my husband? There are certain basic responsibilities of a man. I want to preach on the sermon on men, and it's going to be tough because there are certain basic responsibilities of a man, but there are others open and future, and you are married, you have children, and you have to make decisions along the line. How do you make those decisions? Considering God first or just taking the decision and pray after? Wow. Do you have faith, the faith of Christ, controlling your pocketbook? So that when you write a check or when you sign a contract or when you do something, you always have God first. You never touch God's money. You always said, all right, the old people in the Old Testament separate 10% of their income for God. And actually they paid 23% because there was a taxes of 13 on different days. So the whole bill was 23%. They separate that from God. And when they didn't, God said in Malachi, you have robbed me. So do you and your wife, you are married, sit down and say, darling, let's think in our budget and let's say this amount is from God, is for God. And you never touch it. You know what that means? That means faith controls
your pocketbook or your checkbook? Do you have faith that controls your life? The faith of Christ moves us up and makes us look up. So now, obviously, we have learned today that the faith of Christ is superior. It moves you in, it moves you out, it moves you on, and it moves you up. Now the $4 million question, how do I get that faith? The answer is found in Romans 10 and in verse 17. In Romans 10 and in verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith, the faith of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's step number one. You hear the word of God. You're never going to have faith by hearing fables. You're never going to have faith by hearing stories. The only way you're going to have faith is by hearing the word of God. And then, Pastor, move your Bible to Luke's Gospel in chapter 18 and in verse 13 and 14. Once you read the word of God, you will be confronted with the reality of a powerful God, and you will say, this is crazy. This is not true. This is impossible. And then, what should I do, Pastor, if I can't believe the word of God? Luke 18 and 13, the Bible gives us the story of a publican. And the Bible said that the publican was standing afar off and will not lift up so much as his eyes unto the heavens, but a smote unto his breast, said the Bible, saying, God, be merciful unto me. Give me that light the other people have. Oh, God, please illuminate me. What the next verse said? The next verse, that man went home justified. Verse 14 says, clearly, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. My brother, my sister, my friend, we need the faith of Christ or we are not in the kingdom of God. This is how strong it is. If a church gives you something to become a Christian, you are not a Christian. You're a religious person, but not a Christian. Only God can give you that faith. Will you humble yourself and say, God, please. Oh, God, please. Give me what I don't have and I cannot get by myself. Give me that faith to understand you, to believe you, to honor you. And when that happens, there is no do's and don'ts. There is a life of joy and pleasing God. And without your knowing, you will be completely away from the world you were before. Thank you, Father, for the lesson that you gave us today. Genuine faith is a faith that God gave us, a faith that empowers our life, a faith that is true to the Word of God. Father, I pray that people may think very seriously about it. That they may look into Abraham and see what Abraham did with that faith. Oh, Father, give us people in which we have in them a genuine faith. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Savior, bleed.
Father, the song that Terry had for us was so good. Now I'm happy all the way. Until we find Christ, we will not experience happiness. Thank you, Father, that the gift of God is not acquired by human works or by the work of the church, but by the work of God. The Bible says in John 6:29 that faith is the work of God. And so, Father, it's possible for people to be saved because faith is the work of God. So we cry, oh God, save your people that we may thank you. Thank you for the salvation that we have. Now that we understand it, we see how difficult it was. Our salvation was by grace alone and by mercy alone. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Save our children, our family, oh God. I look into these young people and my heart, oh God, is not that they become successful. I pray that they become successful in life. But the great success of life is that they come and say, Pastor, I love Jesus because I know that it's only from you. Give us families who will rejoice because their family is in the kingdom. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. Amen.